blood pumping onto the ground like a chem spill. Framed by its own blood, the thing was now an easy target. Mildred used the shotgun, tearing the carcass apart with a full charge of flechettes. Dean got it in the face again, while Jack, Doc, and Christy aimed for the chest. Facing the opposite direction, JB was sweeping the wintry landscape with the Uzi for any more of the strange creatures. Dismounting, Mitchum and Ryan slowly approached the mutie with drawn blasters, the others holding back, controlling the scared horses, and reloading their assorted weapons. The strained breathing of the creature could clearly be heard, but even at 10 feet away, it was difficult to focus clearly on the thing. It was a blob of fuzzy white floating in green, that was all. Jacking in a fresh round, Ryan fired the long blaster at point-blank range. The creature bucked from the impact and went still, the puffing of its breath disappearing for good.
It's aced.
Ryan looked over the thing. Something local? The officer frowned.
Never saw or heard anything like it before. Must be a newbie.
A new mutant, you mean?
Yeah, sure. Get them all the time from the north.
The direction of the Bikini Atoll, where the American government tested all those nukes in the past. Made sense. Sliding off her mount, Mildred passed the reins to JB and hurried over. The physician burned with curiosity to see the mutation closer. Moving past the men, she stepped into the blood and crouched near the body, running her hands over the cold corpse. It couldn't have lost body heat that fast. It had to be cold-blooded, like a lizard. But then, how could it move so fast? The body was huge and draped with gossamer fine fur as pale as the snow. It was broad daylight, but the sun didn't reflect off the hair filaments. The nose, even the eyes, were as pale as ice, and the entire body was draped with a fringe of the translucent fur, including the face.
Some sort of cat, like a cougar.
Mildred lifted a paw for study. The claws were 6 inches long, as sharp as knives, and a smooth, dull white where they weren't coated with blood. She opened its mouth and noted that even its gums and tongue were white, only some plaque on the lower teeth adding the smallest tinge of yellow. It was the most amazing natural camouflage she had ever seen, made stick bugs and chameleons pale in comparison. No way this was a result of natural selection. It was much too perfect. Designed was the word that came to mind. A sec man squinted at the mutie.
Huh. Bitch to see. There be snow falling. It could have easily chilled the whole group.
Dean's expression was a mixture of seriousness and embarrassment.
I saw its breath, but wasn't sure until it moved. Then it was too late.
Not your fault.
Strangest mutie I have ever seen. Only hope it's traveling alone.
Jack slid off his horse and walked closer to it.
Won't see paws. Case find tracks elsewhere.
Good idea.
Mildred pressed a paw into the snow. Together they scrutinized the pattern closely, logging the details of the pattern into memory.
How odd. It's sort of like that symbol for Forbidden Island.
Yeah, not like.
Walking her mount to the dead girl, Christy bowed her head in prayer for a minute.
We should bury Anne, but without shovels I don't see how.
Ryan glanced at the sky.
Leave her for the birds.
Condors were already circling the area. Blaster fire always meant food for the scavengers. Also gave away their position. The one-eyed man didn't like that, but there was nothing he could do about birds. What could not be changed had to be endured, as Doc liked to say. But more important, with Anne on the last train west, it meant the companions now depended on the goodwill of Mitchum and his sec men. And Ryan didn't like that one bit. Anne owed them her life. These folks only owed them their freedom. It wasn't the same thing. One of the sec men started grumbling, rubbing his blaster as if it were a source of warmth. The air fogged before the man, his visible breath mixing with the exhalations of the horse.
Ah, this is bullshit. Colonel, how do we know these folks ain't tricking us somehow? Get the Vill gates open and in pour the cannies.
Shut up, trooper.
Mitchum glared at the shivering man.
These are the folks who hauled us out of the stew pot. I'll trust them with my life.
Ryan said nothing, hoping it was true.
Yeah?
The sec man pointed at Jack.
Including the freak?
The teenager looked up from studying the mutie, his snowy hair billowing in the cold wind, his red eyes and ruddy cheeks, the only touches of faint color in his pale face. His tone of voice turned dangerous.
Got prob?
Bet your ass I do. You look like that thing.
The sec man turned to Mitchum.
Sir? Maybe he worships it or something.
A mutie? What a load of spent brass. Now you listen up, Phoebe. Use your damn brain. They saved us from the cannies just to feed us to the mountain cats.
I say we should ace the freak to make sure.
The sec man grabbed the flintlock at his side to brandish the weapon in the air.
Who's with me?
Nobody said a word. The only movement, the wind-blown snow, and the horses shifting their legs to stay warm. The companions exchanged glances and judiciously walked their horses out of the line of fire. They could smell death coming. Even with everyone against him, the man kept arguing.
You can see he's a stinking mutie! By the Baron's law, we're supposed to ace any human muties!
Feeling her red hair flare angrily at the pronouncement, Christie kept her features neutral, but filed that information away. Jack opened his jacket to expose the Colt Python holstered at his side.
Shut mouth, or go steal.
Think I can't take your freak?
The trooper held the flintlock tightly in his hand. Reaching behind his back, Jack pulled his jacket out of the way, flexing his blaster hand.
Any time, Stoop.
Mitchum flicked a look at Ryan.
You in on this?
Between them.
Agreed. Anybody helps this asshole gets on the wrong side of me. Natch?
The rest of the troopers nodded in agreement and moved away from the lone gunman. Suddenly realizing he was without backup, the sick man dropped the blaster to his side, then whipped out a second pistol from inside the blanket. The hammer already cocked and ready to fire. As the weapon swung toward Jack, the teenager drew his own piece and jerked his wrist the second it cleared the holster to shoot from the hip. The booming magnum round hit the sec man square in the face, eyes and teeth blowing into the wind as the primed flintlock discharged, the miniball buzzing past Jack so close he felt the passage of its wind on his cheek. The sec man toppled from the saddle to hit the ground in a crumpled ball. Red blood puddled around the corpse, wisps of steam rising off the warm pool of life fluid. Mitchum exhaled a held breath, creating a small fog.
Nuke me. Never seen speed like that. You're good, boy. Damn good.
Jack shrugged in response, then slid his Colt Python back into its holster and zipped his jacket over the blaster to help keep it warm. There was nothing special about chilling a Stoop. World was full of them, always making noise and getting in the way. They were just a minor annoyance, like skeeters or flies. Another sec man eagerly walked over to the corpse.
Sir, I could use his boots.
Then others called out for the dead man's blasters and poncho.
Ain't mine to give.
Mitchum tilted his head toward the albino teenager.
Talk to the owner.
Jack had already climbed back on his horse.
Help, Seth. Not want any?
The troopers grinned in delight and proceeded to strip the faceless corpse. Ryan was pleased. Letting them have his stuff was another point in favor of the companions. Besides, it was painfully obvious that nobody had liked the dead man very much, or seemed to mourn his passing.
It has occurred to me that such a creation as this should naturally be antithetic to heat. If we traveled with some torches, the flame should hold off any more of its kind.
Most animals hate fire.
Except stickies. But it's a damn good idea. I still got some juice left.
What'll we burn?
Mitchum hugged his blanket tighter. There was nothing in sight but a few bare trees, icy rocks, and snow in every direction. Ryan went to Anne and started cutting away her clothing. Dean rode off to get some branches from a tree with Christie and Jack on his flanks for protection. Until they had the torches, nobody was going anywhere alone. Unexpectedly, there was a sharp crack and a riderless horse dropped lifeless to the frozen earth. Mildred holstered her smoking ZKR and drew a sharp knife.
Dinner is served.
With raw horse filling their bellies, the mood of the group improved noticeably and tempers cooled. Riding through the day and into night, the travelers kept the torches burning with strips of diesel-soaked clothing and took turns sleeping in the saddles. Along the way, the nervous sec men fired a dozen times into the snow, chilling a couple of rabbits and wounding Scream, but it ran off so fast, nobody was able to get a second shot. Might have been a snowcat, or it might not. It was impossible to say. By dawn, the group was past the frost line and descending into the warmth once more. As the sun crested the horizon, The torches were tossed away, and everybody relaxed. Now that they were past the snowcats wouldn't dare to attack. Here in the green grass and trees, their weird color would only make them incredibly visible. Easy targets for anybody.